Okay, well, we weren't shot
over again. So welcome back to the show.
You as well. I'm so excited to have you both on the show.
And I know we had such good feedback and reception.
General Flynn, what an honor.
Joshua tracked me down in a big tent of about 4,000 people.
How are you?
I am doing so great. Hello, everybody. Thank God I am wonderfully great.
Hello.
Thank you very much.
Because what is prayer?
I'm just Jewish, you know what I mean? And
I'm thrilled to be here with the two of you.
You too.
It's like, and that's who these crazies, these evil ones.
It is. You said it right. Good job.
Perfect. We are the Gibson sisters. We are so excited to have them on with us on Resistance Chicks today.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's time to rise.
These people that get higher up, sometimes I've thought,
these are glory days and not gloomy days.
Like, I love it.
it kind of works.
What's awesome about the tour is people like you.
Good.
I love the applause. That's cool.
There we go.
Thank
Hi,
you.
Joy. Everybody, welcome. We are so excited.
Ready to get the show on the road? Let's go.
Welcome back to the studio for the Tanya Joy Show. We are happy to see you here today. We wanted to take a quick moment and just let you know that the next episode you're going to watch is actually something that I had the opportunity to do on someone else's show. So often I get asked to come and be interviewed or be a co-host or share my story on another show. And I really love to then be able to take the work that that podcaster did and highlight it to my audience and let you be introduced to someone else, to meet someone else who is doing a similar thing, and give them more opportunities for a wider viewing audience. So that is what this next episode is going to be. Stay tuned. You're going to love it. I promise. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.
In the waiting room when it comes to God's plan for your life, we'll see what the Bible shows us when we are in that unsettled position of life as we talk with Tanya Joy in this edition of God's News in the News. Well, thank you for joining us once again for another edition of God's News in the News, current events, biblical perspective. And before we go any further, there are three things you need to do. Probably they'll be scrolling along there at the bottom, almost like magic, because my producer or my director, he's that good. So like, share, and subscribe on the three platforms you can do that on. That would be Rumble, Facebook, and YouTube. And then also on X, you got to like the channel and then repost. Do those things. We'll get this going out to people who need to see it. We use the algorithm for God's kingdom. Like I say all the time, we're not building your kingdom, my kingdom, but his kingdom. Almost got confused there. Anyway, do all those things and it'll get where it needs to go because we want God to be out there. If this thing is seen by a million people, then it's a million people that will get the scriptures and hear the gospel. That's what we want to do. Everything else takes care of us. Also, we got the chat going down over here. So if you do want to say something as we're going through this, just go ahead and put it down there, and if I see it and I want to put it up, we'll let Tanya and I figure it out. Since this is an interview here, this is not me monologuing. This will be Tanya Joy and I talking, and I made her a promise in our green room, which is neither green nor a room, but virtually we made a promise that I won't let her monologue, and then she won't let me monologue either. So keep each other in line there. So since I did kind of tease it, let's bring Tanya in here. I think we'll bring her up side by side. We don't need two of me in here, so we'll take that down.
Yeah, it looks kind of cool, though.
It is. Yeah, this looks fun. Yeah, we were talking tech beforehand, so I'm gonna help her out with her tech. She's always helping me out my tech, so it's always fun here. So anyway, I know that you live in Illinois. I live in Wisconsin, for all those that really care. And so the weather's about the same. I don't know if it's like
freezing.
It's like freezing. Did you get have ice on everything?
Well, we had a lot of snow. We had like a foot of snow here last week.
Wow.
I mean, really pretty good snow considering, because we don't always get, you know, that kind of snow here. We haven't for a couple of years. But now it's kind of rainy. I can't see out there right now. It's kind of a snowy mix. And it's kind of disappointing because they have the big ski jump competition this coming weekend. For people that don't know what that is, it's an Olympic sport. But my son is a ski jumper. He was a ski jumper and is a coach now. And so these poor guys have been out in the freezing cold, you know, all night last weekend, snowing the hills, and now it's raining. And so it's like, never fails, never fails. Now it's going to warm up and get mushy or slushy.
When you want one, you get the other. That's it. So,
exactly. Yeah, that's the way it works. Yeah.
Well, when I was putting out, when I was putting out the garbage this morning, I was slip sliding away.
Oh, it's real icy by you. You guys
it's icy. It's ice. It's right on the freeze line. So you got to be careful.
Do you have snow also?
Oh, we got snow. Yeah, we got snow. I don't know how many inches. We didn't get a foot like you guys did, but we didn't get any snow overnight. We just got the rain and the ice. And so it'll probably flip over sometime during the day, but right now it's just like, I gotta go out after this and put some salt in there so that I don't have anybody complaining to me that they slipped on the sidewalk. But
it is, it's crazy weather, that's for sure.
Yeah, but you're wearing a nice bright yellowish,
I had a totally different color, and in all honesty, I went to come down to my studio and realized there was a mark on the shirt, and I knew if I got under the lights, you know, in normal light, if I was just out, nobody would know. But I thought, I'm going to go beyond the camera and everyone's going to see my mark on my shirt. So I had to change last night. But that's okay, because now I do feel bright and cheery and sunny.
Yes.
And we need that.
If you go back and I'm not telling you have to do this, but there was one time, because I had like, I don't know what they call those things, Columbia things where, you know, the shoulders are out and it's like a sweater kind of thing. I don't know what the name of that is. I'm so fashion conscious here, but it was a branded with my company Master Lock on there. And, and I went, I can't advertise for them. So I took a piece of gaff tape and put it over there thinking it would, well,
could you see it or no? Cause that is something they do on set a lot.
Oh, that's, I know. Josh and I know very well. Well, it was because you could see exactly what I had done.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what I was going to say. I've got to share another funny story that you're going to really appreciate this. So we have a local, have you ever heard of Inside the Square with Chuck Barham? Square. Okay.
No,
so they're another network and show, and they're on the Blessed News TV station, and, you know, freedom fighters like us. And so anyway, I go out, they've got a really, really nice in-person studio. So I went out there last week and they were helping me with a couple things. And then we were like, well, let's do a show. I'm like, okay. And it was one of the days that was like negative 20 here. You know, it was like so cold with the wind. So I had like a waffle shirt, like, you know, one of those really warm waffly type, like Under Armour type or whatever, like, you know, shirts on. And then I threw a blazer over it to make it look a little fancier and put some earrings and stuff on. So we go to sit down. And all of a sudden I look at the screen and I realize my shirt that I put on under my navy blue blazer was green, and they film with a green screen. So I had no body. I had a neckline, and then I looked like I was New York City. So it was kind of comical. I had to quickly button up the blazer and make that work. And I was like, okay, if I would not have had this blazer, we couldn't have done this. And they said, oh yeah, we would have definitely done this. You would have just looked like New York City, you know? So for people that don't get that, like that was the first time that ever happened to me. Like I should have known better, but I don't share it with the green screen. So I didn't think about it. It was pretty funny. It's comical.
Yeah, I know. I tried a green screen. I finally got tired of it. I said, well, I'll just put a flat screen behind me. That's what I do here. So
I like this better anyway. But anyway.
Yeah, well, you know, so one day I'm going to get professional here and do something else.
No, you're professional. You've got a great set. Really great. I love the background.
It's my wife, I went down to Nashville one time, I think. Yeah, I was down in Nashville. And while I was down there, she put all the stuff together, went to IKEA and got all the strange sounding things for like shelving units, and she put it all together when I came back. So, and you know, it's like all of us, and this is something where we all, and people that see us do these things, they go, wow, that looks really good. We didn't start like this.
When I used to do my show, I was reversed. So like I'm in my office, this used to be my wall that my desk was on. And if people could see, like, I need to sometime take the camera and do like a view, because if people could see what it actually looks like in here, it's so cluttered, you know, in front of me, and I have like a keyboard over there and cabinets, and it's crazy. But you got to do to make it look good.
Yeah. And there are some times, and I will be totally open and honest here, there are times when what you see up here doesn't match what I have
to okay, again, I'll show you. I have.
Oh, you're going to do it? Oh, nice.
And slippers. I have my MyPillow slippers that I live in. Shout out for MyPillow. They're my favorites. I live in those. And today was one of those days that I thought, nope, I'm wearing
PJs.
I got pajama bottoms. Yeah, pajama bottoms on. Well, I mean, if you're just sitting here, it's like uncomfortable. You don't want to be sitting in, you know, dress pants all day.
No, I.
A little behind the scenes thing.
I am fully dressed. I feel like I have to do that. It's just like I don't know why I do that, but there are times I come up here and I've got my pajama bottoms on and I just put on a dress shirt and we go for it.
Yeah. That's what I did today. It works, you know.
Don't you now, if you're watching this, don't you feel a lot better? We are people. We're human. We do these things.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
real.
I think we're actually somewhat planned on this. We actually have notes and we have slides, you know, but we're also Pentecostal. We're charismatic. I have no problem saying that. And so we let the Spirit flow. You may get something, you know, if one of us feels like God has a word for somebody that's watching it, we are going to go for it. So don't worry about it. So, all right. That all being said, we've called this In the Waiting with Tanya Joy. If you heard the tease, it's kind of like a waiting room. If you're like off stage, or you're in the waiting room and you feel like the doctor hasn't found you, and you're just sitting back there and maybe you've got a pain here or something going on in your life, and you're like, gosh, I wish I could get in there to find out what's going on. Yeah. That's what we're talking about. If I think I got you, right? And the Bible has a lot to say about that. So if you're watching this and you're in that position, this thing's ready for you. So what's on your heart, Tanya?
Yeah, that image that you gave, that's exactly what kind of jogged this to my memory. You know, for people watching, we kind of go, okay, what are we going to talk about this month? You know, and unfortunately or fortunately, I'm somebody who never really knows way far in advance, because I might think, oh, let's talk about this. And then 2 days out, I feel like, no, that's not what we're supposed to talk about. And I always like to go with whatever I feel like the Lord is doing. And so this really came out of where I am at personally right now in my life. And one thing I've learned and many of you that are listening or watching, you may be this kind of a person. There's something called a seer, S-E-E-R. And you have to be careful with that, because of course we know that the New Age world has kind of stolen some of this and twisted it. You know, that's what the enemy does, steals, kills, and destroys. And so he twists things. But ultimately, God created within our spirit the ability to sense. You know, he gave us five senses, and he gave us that ability to really have an idea of what's going on in the world around us. You know, we have to remember we are spirit beings first and flesh or soul second. And so while we're in this world, this fleshly world, there are things that we're going to feel and see and sometimes smell, sometimes get that gut feeling. And you can either kind of take those and go, oh, I maybe have bad pizza, or, oh, I don't know, I just don't like that person, or, oh, this room must just be bad. Or, you know, you can kind of just take it and brush it off, or you can get to a place where you go, I think God is trying to say something to me. I think that the Spirit is allowing me to feel something, and maybe it's not just for me. And that's kind of where I've been in this week, in this space, that really the only words I could put to it are in the waiting. And so what happened with me was, on the weekend, I was doing some different things. You know, I've always got like a million different directions I feel like I'm going, and I'm constantly trying to seek the Lord to go, what's the one direction I should go in? Because honestly, I feel like I'm sometimes a hamster in a hamster wheel, just spinning around and around, or going, what direction? You know, where is the breakthrough? Where is the thing that's going to open the door? Where am I going to cross that threshold? And I did a show on my show for people that don't maybe know what a threshold is. You can go watch it on my channel on Rumble. If you just do a search for Tanya Joy and Ann Hamilton, Ann with an E, you'll find it. It was the last show I did, and it's a brilliant show about what does it mean when we go through life and we hit a place where we're kind of getting ready to cross over into something new. And we know right now in the days we're living in, we are in that time period globally. We are in this period of crossing over from one age into the next. And many of us are also in a stage of transition. You know, for me, I mean, I can only share my story. I don't know where everybody else is, but I know the more I share my story, the more I figure out, oh, wow, everybody's kind of in a similar space, but just with their own thing. It was 2 years ago, yesterday, that I lost my corporate job and my income, my regular income that I could trust on every 2 weeks, and my insurance, right? And my stability and my daily schedule of knowing what to expect when I get up in the morning and what I'm going to be involved in and what I might need to do. And, you know, all of that, it all came crashing down. And I never thought that it would be 2 years and I would still be in this place of waiting, of going, okay, there's all these potentials. There's all these possible open doors, but I don't know where I'm supposed to go. And I don't see any of them flinging wide open, drawing me in, if that makes sense. And so I feel like it was important to kind of talk about this and to go, because I believe that a lot of people are going through this. I don't think I'm the only one. You know, I know that there's a lot of people that have lost their jobs over the last three to four years. There's a lot of people that are struggling financially. There's a lot of people that have lost relationships. There's a lot of people that have their own personal little family unit in turmoil. You know, over the last 4 years, there's been a lot of division. I kind of fit all those categories. My personal life has been in turmoil. You know, I've got a prodigal child that's out there. I've been attacked by the mainstream media. I've tried to walk in this new area of whatever this is, sharing truth, teaching the word, whatever you want to call it. I'm in the midst of my babies getting ready to go to college. So there's going to be transition there. Every area in my life is kind of up in the air right now. It very much like Job, very much. I feel very much like I'm walking through a Job time period, but it's really and truly in the waiting. And so I started to deep dive into this. I had two friends, two different days, send me these little clips that they just felt they were to send me. And it was all about being in the waiting room and exactly what you explained. You know, you're in this hospital space, and it could be that our hearts are in getting surgery. It could be that a family member, it could, whatever it is, and the Lord's got it. But what do we do in the meantime? Like, you know, what do we do? And the word really addresses this. It really does. It goes deep into this. And what I found interesting when I first started looking, see, now I'm monologuing, but it's okay because I do have notes, so it's all good. But feel free to jump in. But I looked up, what does it mean? What is the definition for wait or waiting? And it's really interesting because it's waiting. You can be waiting for something. You can await something. You can have to just stay. Like literally that's part of the definition, stay. Stay put. Like you think of your dog, my puppy, you know, laying here on the floor, and I'm trying to teach her stay. The word remain is also in there. And when I saw those words within the context of wait, it reminded me, and I don't think I gave you guys this Bible verse, so I'm so sorry, but that's okay because I don't really even know fully where it is. But it's that concept of the Lord telling us, just stay with me, remain in me, and then I will remain in you. And so that waiting, that concept of waiting is really stay put, remain, stay in a place. This also was in the definition, which I love this example or this definition. Stay in the place of expectation. Because often when we get into this place of waiting for whatever it is, waiting on the Lord to move, waiting on the next thing, it's very hard to remain expectant, to remain hopeful. You know, the word talks about hope deferred makes a heart sick. It's very hard to maintain hope when you're in a place of wait, when you're in a place of being still, of remaining. It also says to delay serving, to delay something, to remain stationary in readiness or expectation. So imagine that, remaining stationary, being still, expecting something, being ready. So it's like, for me, I feel like I've been planting all these seeds, you know, waiting for something, but like, I haven't seen anything really fully grow. I'm seeing little pieces here and there.
Yeah.
It's that concept.
Yeah. And something when you were talking, and this is why we want to have a conversation here, because Tanya said something that I felt like needed to jump in. And because sometimes we gave you a mental image about a waiting room. Well, in a waiting room in a doctor's office, you've got the Muzak going on. You've got these magazines that are probably 5 years old talking about things that happened before you were born or something, whatever. But sometimes the waiting isn't quite that static. Sometimes it's in the midst of a storm. And so, and you, I kind of watch what's going on. I listen to your podcast. I listen to this. And of course, we've talked before and after we record these things. I know a lot of what's going on here. We're not going to get into the specifics unless you want to. But I know you've been in some pretty big storms. And like those apostles in the boat, some of them who were actually seasoned fishermen, they thought they were going to die. Now, you were in a life and death situation, but it just, the pain was there. And I think we've got the verse that we were talking about there.
Remain in me. There you go. Yeah. See, go. This is what happens. This is why I try to get the verses, but then on the fly, I'm talking about verses that I didn't have. It's true that being in that wait when you're in that storm.
Yeah.
That's very, very difficult. I mean, yesterday I had a really rough day. I mean, everybody that watches my show knows that I'm an open book and I talk about everything, whether I should or shouldn't. I don't know, but I do. And it was a struggle yesterday. And I thought, here it is. I'm going to be having to talk about this. I've been diving into the word to try and learn about this. And then I'm like falling apart yesterday, you know, because it's like sometimes when you're in that waiting room, the Lord is in doing the surgery. So there isn't, you know, if you're in a waiting room, you don't have anyone to necessarily say, can you give me an update? Like, where are we? They're in the surgery room. You know, sometimes they'll send someone out, right? If you've got a loved one that's in surgery, but sometimes you've got to wait for the whole surgery to be finished until that surgeon comes out and goes, it's good. It's all good. It's all good.
Yeah.
When you're in the midst of that waiting, and then you think about the Israelites, they were waiting for 40 years, you know? Now, some of that was because of their disobedience, because of their complaining, because of their murmuring. But the interesting thing is that before they had that wait period of the 40 years, the Lord says and again, I'm sorry, this is not a scripture I gave you, but the Lord says he had to lead them a different route, because if he were to take them the short route, they would have had to come up against, I think it was the Philistines, and they would have been too hard of a battle. And he said, I know that it's one tiny little part, I think it's in Genesis. And he says, I had to lead them a different route because they were not strong enough to have faced a battle. How many times when we're in that wait period, is the Lord leading us a different direction a little bit? Because if we had to face some of the other stuff, we wouldn't be able to get through it. I know for me, that's definitely the case. Often times, I think that that's the case, you know? And then you think about, what does waiting do for us? Like, why do we have to go through this? Why? So let me go back and in the word wait appears 106 times in the King James Version. And interestingly, in like the Hebrew and the Greek, the word is kava. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. It's Q-A-V-A-H, kava. And it means to wait, to look for, to hope, and to expect. So I like to go back to the original context. I don't like to just take our, you know, new translations because they screw everything up. So I like to go back to the original. So that original word, wait, it came actually out of seven different combinations between the Hebrew and the Greek, but that original context, it meant to wait, to look for, to hope, to expect. Those are all very different things, you know, to have hope and be stuck in the weight when you can't see it is very difficult. Very, very, very difficult. That's that place I'm in right now. Right now I'm trying to be a good waiter, right? If that makes sense, to sit still, to remain in him, but then to also try and be expectant of something. And when you're out there, I mean, think of the Israelites, they were in this journey for so long, they lost hope. They lost the vision of the promised land. I mean, they did. That's why they were murmuring and complaining.
Yeah, and something else that in that, because people that read the scriptures, they read, you know, the 40-year wait, God didn't impose that on them. They put themselves in that position. And sometimes we have to remember that even though we are the cause of the waiting, God's still there.
That's good. That's really good. Yeah, because he says he will never leave us or forsake us. So he's not, you know, he hasn't left our side, even though it may feel like it. Again, it's going back to that idea that he's the one that's got to do all the surgery. He's the one working if we remain pliable. I mean, that there's always that if we get into a place where we're not being willing to allow the surgery to take place, you know, like I think of Job, you know, Job was saying to the Lord, like, just, are you like, what did I do? I don't think I've sinned. Like, I mean, literally that was me yesterday. I was crying out to the Lord going, if I've sinned, show me. I will repent. I will turn from my wicked ways. I know I'm not perfect, but I, you know, nothing. I heard nothing. And that's where I believe that this waiting period is really the tough spot, when you're not hearing anything, when you're not getting feedback, when you're not getting direction, and yet we have to remain in him in the midst of that.
Well, that is a, I don't know if that is a skill that we get automatically. I don't know anybody that knows how to wait. We're generally impatient people. We have to learn patience. And scripturally, there's an awful lot of scriptures that talk about patience.
Yeah.
Of course, you know the old line, you know, when you don't want to pray for patience or character because you know what's going to happen to you.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's like, well, I don't want to say that's not necessarily true, because, you know, they always use the line, you know, if I say something, it's going to happen. If I pray for character, I'm going to get this. And they think, well, if that's the way it works, I'm going to pray that I never want to win a lottery ticket. You know,
I know. Isn't it funny? It is. It's like, so, we put these little catchphrases on things, but like, seriously, but it is a balance, because we do know the word says that the power of life and death is in the tongue. But yeah, it is kind of funny. But that, what you're saying reminds me of Galatians 6:9. That is a scripture I gave you guys. And that is really, to me, the crux. I know for me that the stage that I'm in life, this kind of feels to me like it sums it up very well. You know, because it says, let us not grow weary in doing good. And I like to break down the scriptures, you know, when I talk about them. So when I think about, okay, grow weary, so get tired. I'm exhausted, friends. I really am. I am tired, beyond tired. And I have been for months. And I keep kind of trying to get away and spend time with the Lord. Like, you know, I've gone away for a couple of days here and there, and I'm going away again coming up, specifically to go, I need to be recharged. I need to be refreshed. But it says, don't grow weary in doing good, which means doing the right thing. You know, doing good isn't mean just like going and helping your neighbor. It's following what the word says. It's doing the biblical things, following God's word, doing what he set forth for us to do. And that is wearyful. It gets you tired at times, because, you know, it's like what we're doing on these podcasts. We're working on speaking the truth. We're working on bringing the word alive to other people. We're working on all these things. And when you don't see the return, it can get tiring, you know, but yet the word says, don't grow weary in doing that, because at the proper time, at the proper exact time, again, when you're in that waiting room, when it's the right moment, when that surgery is done and the doctor comes out and goes, you're good. You can go home. You can go run a mile again, you know, whatever it might be. It says we will reap a harvest. And that word harvest means a bounty, a blessing. double fold pouring over, abundantly more than we could think or ask or imagine, seeing the goodness of God while we're in the land of the living. That's what the Bible says. The Bible tells us that we can expect that. And I believe we can expect that when we are being, when we're fulfilling the first part, we're not growing weary, when we're hanging on. And then it goes on and it says, again, if we do not give up. So this is a very interesting scripture, because it's saying, don't give up. Don't grow weary. Don't get tired in doing the right thing. Don't get tired of staying on the right track. Don't get tired of putting your time in, paying your dues, right? I mean, I'm an actress and a singer. I'll tell you, I was at an audition the other night. And the world, this world of acting and singing is the strangest place. It is so strange. I had to get all dressed up, you know, so it's 8 at night. I've got my hair all curled and I'm dressed up and I have to drive an hour, get there. It's freezing, park somewhere far away, walk outside in the snow. So I've got, you know, heels in a bag, my boots on, a big winter coat on, walk in, you get in the room, change quickly into your heels, wait till it's your turn. Finally, it's your turn. You go in. Nobody really, you know, they say, hello, how are you? But you don't talk to the directors or the casting people. You just go in. I sing my 32-bar song. I do my one-minute monologue. So altogether, I'm in there maybe 3 to 4 minutes. Thank you. And you leave. And you may or may not hear anything. I mean, it is the strangest world. And it's very easy to be like, I just don't want to do this anymore. But if I don't do it, there's no chance of ever getting a job. I mean, you know, you have to go through that in order to get the job. So it's a very, this scripture, there's so much to this, because they're saying, the word is saying, don't give up. Keep doing the right thing at the proper time. And friends, we don't, as much as I am telling you, I have been offered things this past year that if I would have been willing to compromise on doing good, I would have walked through and my financial issues would have been solved and who knows where I would be. But I would not be following what the word says, because I would have been compromising doing the right things, doing the biblical things, doing the good things. And we can't stop. We can't stop waiting for it. That's the don't give up. Don't stop waiting. Don't stop believing. Don't stop pressing in. Don't stop contending. You know, there's an aspect of contending for the promises God has given us.
When I invented MyPillow, my passion was to help each and every one of you. And 20 years later, all of your support is what keeps us going. Because of you, we've been able to create thousands of USA jobs and help millions get the best sleep ever. To thank you, my employees and I are bringing you a limited edition MyPillow. The Giza Elegance MyPillow is made with my patented adjustable fill, the most amazing cotton, and a 2-inch pipe gusset. It has 4 custom loft levels, machine washable and dryable, and you get my 60-day money-back guarantee and 10-year warranty.
Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get your limited edition 20th anniversary MyPillow queen size. Retails for $69.98, now only $19.98. That's right, get a queen size MyPillow for only $19.98.
From all of us here at MyPillow,
thanks America!
Government-induced inflation, taxes, rising interest rates, political instability. All of these can have a crushing effect on our investments, often causing the stock market to go down. But they can also cause gold and silver to go up.
Hi, this is Dr. Kirk Elliott. Buy gold, buy silver, buy now, but buyer beware. Precious metals companies are not created equal. As a PhD economist, I have been in the financial, economic, and precious metals business for 3 decades. The philosophy of my firm is people over profit. I encourage you to read my bio to learn more about me at KirkElliottPhD.com.
Now is the time to own physical metals in an IRA, 401k, and outside of a retirement plan. Don't let the government destroy your hard-earned assets any longer. Call 720-605-3900 or visit KirkElliottPhD.com.
Hey friends, You already know the answer to this, but we'll ask you anyway. If you stay away from your favorite junk food for a month and then go back to supersizing it, will your health improve?
Well, that's the thing about change. To change, we have to be as consistent as possible.
And when we go back to an old habit, it's not the end of the world. We just get back at the new habit.
Before you know it, real transformation is evident to you and others.
That's why we offer a bunch of helpful bonuses when you subscribe to Kingdom Fuel.
Kingdom Fuel is our complete nutritional meal shake.
It's the simple start to a transformed life, and we'll auto ship every month so you don't run out.
You'll receive 2 free shaker cups, free access to our video courses, and a monthly call with us filled with practical inspiration.
Just see the link below or on your screen and subscribe today.
Yeah, and I'm going to let you know something. You didn't know this about me, but you know, I've been on the other side of this. I've been to auditions as well, and I know how that works, but I've also been the judge on the other side. So I'm a part of a church that's got like over 3,000 people, and when we have a script, maybe I've written it, maybe somebody else has written it, but there's 3 of us there. And then we have to have people come on in, do this, you know, and then they leave, and it's like I know how it works on the other side. And because I've auditioned and I've been on both sides, I try to be a little nicer to people when they walk in. I try to help them out. But in the professional world, out there, it is like cut and dry, cold. Come in, leave. They've got like 300 people they got to get through. And it's like, so I don't know what you were trying out for, but I know
it was a musical.
Well, okay, duh, you know.
It was a fun musical.
If you don't know anything about Tanya Joy, she's got an excellent voice. If you want to go on YouTube, her channel there, you can get her demo tape there. But she's got accent. She's got all these things, all these talents, all these tools. But what do you
do with them all when you're in the waiting? I mean, that's going back to this because that's sometimes I'm like, okay, I've got all right now. I feel like I've been in a season of building my tool bag. Being prepared, getting prepared, right? Making sure everything's in order. I take acting classes. I do singing lessons. I don't do dance lessons. I should probably do that, but can't afford that. And I haven't found somebody who's willing to swap, you know, and be like, here, you help us and we'll give you dance lessons. But, you know, it's like building the tool bag and being prepared because it only takes, you know, friends, when he opens that door, it's instant. I mean, it really is. When we think of the Israelites, when they crossed the Red Sea, they were led through that waterway on dry land because the water opened up, right? And there's some really interesting things when you really dive into that. When you read that, the wind changed directions, which kind of created this damming up of the water, if you will, which is what kind of helps separate that. And they walked through, and then their enemy was able to walk through that same dry land until the very last minute. It wasn't, I mean, their enemy was closing in on them. It wasn't like they got through and then the water closed and the enemy was on the other side. They went through, they just got up over the hill, right? Like, you know, because you think about the waterway, they would have had to walk through and who knows if they had to climb up a little bit. I don't know, but whatever, they got to the other side, but their enemy was still in the midst behind them. It says they were getting closer to them. So here, these people see this major miracle. They walk through and they turn around and they're going, are you kidding me? Like, what? You just split the sea and now you're going to just let my enemy walk through the sea you split for us? But see, it was the very last minute because the Lord had to get the entire troops into the water area so he could flood them, so he could drown them all. We forget about that. I know I do. I forget about that all the time because it's very difficult to have to sit in that wait and go, oh my gosh, when are you going to move, Lord? I mean, when are you going to move? And we don't know the answer all the time. We don't know when he's going to do that. We were talking about patience earlier, right? And perseverance. And Romans 5:3. Now, this is a very different version. The one that I don't know if you guys grabbed this version, the one I sent you. It's from the Geneva Bible, which is a translation from the 1500s. And it says, neither that only, but also we rejoice in tribulations, knowing that tribulation bringeth forth patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Now, that's very interesting, because when you look at the direction of that, first, you're going to have a tribulation. You're going to have something that's difficult that you're going through, something that is uncomfortable, something that is not fun, that doesn't feel good. That is the thing that brings us patience. That thing right there, we don't get patience from everything going well. We get patience from the difficult. And then it says the patience brings the experience. It gets us through it. And then that experience is what issues hope. That's really interesting to think about, because I think of, well, I need hope and I don't have hope right now. How do I get hope? Well, maybe I'm still walking through some of these other things, right? And then it says hope makes us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now, you could read that in another translation. It's different. It's a different translation, but it's the same, the concept of what do we do? You know, we want patience. We need patience. All these things are what helps transform us into who God actually created us to be. I was going to look and see, what does it say in the New Living Translation? Because I don't read the Geneva Bible very often, but I really liked that translation. So the New Living, which is one of my favorites, is we can rejoice when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us to develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. Character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fulfill our hearts with his love. Those are interesting, because those are very different. You kind of get two different pictures from that one scripture based on those two different translations.
Yeah. And we're talking about a lot of things, you know, patience and hope, character, tribulation, all these things. These are tough terms. You know, we want hope and love, but we don't want patience and tribulation.
Right.
You know, and it's like, we don't want that, but you know, it's like all these different things. It's like, well, all right. We work in the prophetic circles here. Let's just be honest here. We work with people who are getting words from God. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these words, let's be honest, haven't quite come to pass the way that we were expecting them to. And we're still waiting. We're in the waiting room of prophetic fulfillment. For those people who are in that kind of a feeling, God's given them a word maybe 5, 6, 7, 8, 20 years ago, and it still hasn't happened. Do you have a word for those people?
Yeah, because you know what? I have actually that exact experience in my own life. And that's where I think that contending to not give up, that contending comes in. So when I was 18, maybe, I was very, I don't know. I don't even think I was married yet. I think I was like 18. My parents actually got a prophetic word and they believed it was for me. And there were parts of it over the last 25, 30 years that we thought it was coming to pass. And then time goes by and we go, it didn't come to pass. It did not fully, you know, because when the Lord gives you a word, we have to remember a few things. One, it's usually symbolic of something. So you really need to seek the Lord and go, what does this mean? What are the things that are in here? It's kind of like our dreams. It doesn't always, just because you dream of a yellow car does not always mean the same thing. It's like, we really have to seek the Lord and go, what does that mean in that particular dream or word you gave? And there's a part in that word that I had gotten, my parents got years ago, that said, she is at the end. She is ready to give up. You must kind of help her along, but you know, this will come to pass. And so it's interesting, because there's a part of me now that I'm going, boy, it almost looks like that word is valid for right now in this point, because I don't know if I've ever been in this type of a place where I'm ready to give up, but in a very different way, not in like a angry or just in a, I'm exhausted. And I don't want to spin my wheels unless it's what God wants me to do. I have such a desire. I just want to be where he wants me to be. If he says you got to wait another 40 years, okay, then fine. If he says you got to wait another 2 years, I just want to hear something. You know what I mean? But I believe that that's where the contending comes in. And that means that we partner with him. It means we do not start to complain the way the Israelites did. You know, I always go, we've got to dig into the word to see where did somebody go through something like we did. My mom, I was talking to her this morning and she goes, how long did Esther have to wait? You know, because we're constantly like, where in the scriptures can I look to for some vision, direction, understanding, clarity? Because that's the only place we can look. We can't look in the world. You know, we've got to look to the scriptures. Esther, she got crowned and then she had to sit there for 5 years. She didn't know she was getting crowned to expose Haman. She had no idea. For 5 years, it was until she actually goes and says, actually, here's what Haman's trying to do. So I would encourage you to get into the word and search out stories and individuals that look to resemble what you personally are going through. Because, you know, there's a lot of people that had to wait. Moses had to wait. Abraham had to wait. Joseph had to wait. I mean, Ruth, like every person had a season of waiting. So I would encourage, look for the one that most resembles, that most resonates with where you are right now. And then study what those people did and didn't do. Study, what did the Lord say? You know, the Israelites complained. Well, then don't find yourself complaining because it's going to prolong it, right? Yesterday when I was a wreck, I mean, I was trying so desperately. When we're at a threshold place, it's very important to not dishonor ourselves, the Lord, his word, his children. So it's like when you're in that season of waiting, I believe we have to be very conscious of seeking the Lord in the middle of those moments of feeling fully in desperation. Like, I just want to give up. I want to throw my hands up. Yesterday, I literally fell down in my rooms crying and going, am I sinning? Is there something that I'm doing that I shouldn't be? Would you reveal it to me? I don't want to be in sin. Is there, you know, like, show me what it is, Lord. So just continuously go back to him, asking him for clarity, for direction. And if you can't hear anything, get in the word. You'll find there's always answers. I mean, just for me, getting in the word with all of these scriptures for today. In fact, yesterday, in the midst of all this, I'm on this mailing list by this ministry. I forget what they're totally called, but the things that they put out, it's called Small Straws in a Soft Wind. And her name is Marsha Burns. And yesterday's said, look carefully with eyes of the Spirit, and you will see that you have supernatural help behind the scenes. Never doubt the length I will go to for protection and prosperity for you in all things. These are the days when you can rejoice in knowing that I am with you and for you, says the Lord. And then they put in Psalms 5:11, but let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. That little piece of that little nugget, I was like, well, go figure. Go figure that would show up today when I'm, you know, feeling like this. James 1:12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive a crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him, right? Micah 7:7. But as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior. My God will hear me. When we are in this season, the best thing you can do is to find these scriptures and put them up on the walls, put them up on your mirror, and say them out loud over and over and over and over.
Yeah, I got to take that one down because it's not the right one. Boy, you flew through those. I couldn't get them up fast enough.
Sorry, I know that's my problem. Is I use the word, you know, as like, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Did I say the wrong one?
No, you got the right ones. It's just the ticker's got it. I just didn't get the screen up fast enough.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can go slower.
No, you don't have to go slower. It's fine. It's fine. There was one verse in here. I looked at it, and I think it's this one here. No, it's this one here. I think. Let me put it up here. I think this is the one I was thinking about. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And as you were going through all that stuff, that verse came back to me, and I said, you know what? There's something here. That kind of, I don't know if it completes a statement, but it gets us closer, because that word perseverance, I don't know, did you do a study on that when you were doing this whole thing? What does that word perseverance mean? If you didn't, I mean, it's like.
I've done it in some of my others. I'm pretty sure from remembering again, perseverance is that it's remaining. I know that there's an aspect of perseverance that you're remaining steadfast and you're remaining. It's very interesting how some of these words have that aspect of being still and remaining, because the word says so many, remain in me, stay in me. Right.
Right. But what I was getting to is that, okay, so I'm going to take it down here in a second. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And what I was trying to get to in this whole thing was basically this. Because you mentioned some of these people who have gone through those seasons of waiting. There's the perseverance there. Okay. David was anointed king. How long did it wait before he actually got the throne? All those things that happened in between. Joseph has this dream where he's got the coat of many colors and all his brothers are bowing down to him. All the process, every step along the way, being thrown into the pit, being sold into slavery, being accused by Potiphar's wife, then all these things, being thrown into jail. And then they forget about him. And then he finally gets a chance to interpret a dream after 2 years, the guy forgot him. And then he gets out there and he goes, okay, here's the dream. And then next thing you know, he's second in command of Egypt.
Right.
Okay. So Moses, quick. Moses has these 40 year intervals, 40 years in Pharaoh's court, 40 years in the backside of the desert, 40 years with the people of Israel, all these things. And, you know, there's a lot of times like Mary, when she's on this donkey on a 4-day journey uphill to Jerusalem. And there's a lot of times you can sit there and go, if God is living inside of me, why is all this happening to me? But like Mary, there was a point of deliverance.
Yeah.
But the point I'm trying to make is this. You can't, the waiting prepares you for the thing you want.
Totally.
That's what that scripture says, that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything.
Yeah.
And if we want whatever we've been told is going to happen, there's a waiting time, because God knows I can't just give it to you immediately, because you don't have the maturity.
Totally.
You don't have the completeness to do it.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. You don't have the skills. I mean, that's why, like, the biggest thing that I am trying to focus on in this waiting season is the preparation. It's like, I feel like I'm out there with my tools and I'm just sharpening them all day. Like, okay, I don't know if I'm going to use them, but I'm going to get them ready. Because think of David and Goliath. If he would not have been out in the fields all those years, well, I mean, he was young, so however many years, but still, if he hadn't had to wrestle bears by himself and take care of the sheep and do all these things, he would not have been prepared to kill Goliath. The only reason his aim and all of that was so good is because he had no choice but to protect himself. That had to have been scary as a kid, because he was a kid, to be out there having lions attack coming near him that he had nobody to go to. He had to do it himself. That was the preparation. And it's the same with us, that the times that we're in this season, if you can seek out and find ways to be prepared to get those tools ready, it'll I think get you there quicker. You know what I'm saying? Because the Lord sees you're doing the work. We're preparing. We're going, I don't know how long it's going to take, but I'm going to be prepared when the opportunity comes.
Oh, I don't want both. I want both of us up here. So let me pull this down here. Get you back beside me.
No worries.
We don't want this ugly mug be the only thing they see today. Well, there's so much in here. I don't know how long you've been a Christian. I've been a Christian for over 50 years, and I can tell you there's an awful lot of things that God's shown me. And then people have told me. I've lived my whole life under this expectation of greater things. It's like, oh my goodness, if you're this way here, then this is, whoa, what's going to happen? That expectation being thrown on your shoulders saying, well, you should be closer to God now. You should be doing more with your life.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, why haven't you done this, this, and this? And there's one prophecy somebody gave me back when I was in my 20s, early 20s. It still hasn't happened yet, but I'm holding on to it because God does not repent. He does not take back his promises. And so I'm still thinking, hey, that's going to happen. That's going to happen, whether it's going to be through this venue here, this virtual world here, or whether it's going to be in person, I don't know. But if God gave you a word, hold on to it.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it's like, and you're going through the same thing, Tanya. I mean, I'm hearing things here. It's like, okay, because I get an email from you saying it's been a hectic few days. And now you're telling me, giving the back. I can read between the lines. I can figure things out. We're real. We're struggling. You know, I mean, we're trying to make things work. I mean, it's like, why? I mean, God told me back in October when this whole thing happened with Israel, and they said, and God said, I want you to do an update every day. Well, I'm thinking, oh, it's going to be 2 weeks. You know, it'll be over. 109 days, you know, and it's like, you know, sometimes you go, did you really want me to keep doing this every single day?
Yeah.
And yet it is. And when people say, you know, I was talking to somebody, they said, you know, I would have been crazy if I'd been doing this every day. I said, really, be honest with you, it's getting easier. I'm getting to the point now where I can just do it automatically. And I believe that God is setting this thing up to be able to do more. The things that you learn in the times that you're waiting to do something else with the other tools, God's giving you other tools that you may not think you may need. And that's, I think the same thing's doing with you, Tanya. I mean,
And you just never know. I mean, I think about with my show, the editing part, right? And I don't really, I like that part. There's parts I like, there's parts I don't like. But because of having to do it, I'm sorry, the doggy's freaking out here. Because of having to do this for so long and not having, you know, the assistant, like having to just figure it out. You know, I've had to learn. I didn't know how to do video editing. Well, now I do. Well, now I have friends that'll be like, could you help do this? And I'm like, sure. Because now I know how to do it. Right. So there's like, I don't fully understand what all of this, how it all ties together, but I feel very strongly that it does, you know, and so it's a matter of just diligence. And I do think that there are seasons where it could shift and it might be, you know, like I know right now I'm in a season where I'm really seeking out. I may shift. I may not do. I already shifted away from 5 shows a week down to 3. I may shift and just do one live for a little while, because if it's just like, you're just doing it for the note motions, right? We've got to understand, why are we doing what we're doing? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I've been seeking the Lord on it, and I'm going to be planning to do that next week to really seek him out and find out, you know, can I cut back? What should I be doing? What should I be, you know, is this a season of change? I know it's a season of transition and transformation. I know that. And so, again, we have to be willing to listen, to seek him, and then respond. And that may be prayer, that may be intercession, that may be contending, whatever it is, we just have to be willing to do that in the midst of it.
Yeah. And so I don't know, maybe it's just you and me encouraging each other, because we've been going down the same road. You know, there are so many people that do these things, these podcasts, you know, Amanda Grace, the Flyover Everybody. Conservatives, all of these people, Julie Green, you know, we've all been told the same thing. I want you to encourage people, and I want you to go and create a channel on YouTube.
Yeah.
Didn't we all do that? And then we all went, why am I doing this?
Yeah. I still think that. I still think, why am I doing this? Yeah.
You know, I do this podcast on Israel every single day, which is fine. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy doing it. But I look at the totals and I go, only those many people are watching. Only those people are watching, you know? And yet I ask God and he says, did I tell you to do something different? He said, no. Right. I said, no, then keep doing what I told you, because what you are doing is part of the process. You just can't see it. It's
it's the behind the scenes.
Yes.
Again,
yes.
You know, you understand because you've done the stage stuff and the shows. There is way more that happens behind the scenes, mm-hmm. and there is way more longer that happens behind the scenes than the 2-hour little show somebody watches, whether it's a TV movie, whether it's a live show. They get 2 hours that has been the accumulation of sometimes hundreds of hours of preparation.
Yes.
I mean, that's how it is. And it's for those 2 hours or whatever that people think of the show that's only 30 minutes and it's still got hundreds of hours behind it.
Yep.
It's the journey. It's embracing the journey.
When people watch this like 15, 20 minute, you know, podcast every day on Israel, they don't understand. I'm spending 2 and 2.5 hours to put that together because I write my own notes and everything. And not to build myself. There's been sometimes I go, why am I putting all this intention? I can make it a 5-minute update and nobody's going to know the difference. And I always stop myself and I go, no, I'm not going to shortchange people. I got to give them exactly the best that I have. And I just always have those moments, but I can tell you that you are right. You know, all the stuff you're looking at here, you know, these cameras up here and then you got your cameras there. You got a set that you put together and, you know, putting scriptures and all this stuff takes time.
Yeah.
But it is that time that we put into it that is the fruit of our labor. We get the results. You know, all we need, if you're in a season right now where you are struggling and you're doing exactly what God's telling you, you're in a church somewhere and you put through 4 or 5 hours of preparation for your sermon to preach to 5 people or to 10 people or 20 people, and you look and you say, how come I'm not reaching more people? Let me tell you something. It only takes one person to come up and tell you how much change you made in their life. There's a person that's from California, and she watches the updates every day. And she says, I always look for news, but I can't trust it. But you, I can trust. And I really depend upon what you're doing. Those are the things that make you go, I'm making a difference.
Yeah, exactly. And it is. And even if it's just, I mean, imagine this. Even if it's just that we are to do this, to be obedient, to do something within us. And it's not for anyone else. I mean, we could do a show and there could be nobody that could see it, but it might be the thing that's, I mean, I think of the show I did that I believe is the reason why I got fired. I just deep down feel it. And then there was very few people that saw that show, but I knew when I got done filming it, it was 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I knew that it was going to change everything. I knew it. I felt it. I wrote it in my journal. I told my best friend, I'm like, I'm afraid to post this. And she's like, why? I said, because something about this is going to change everything. And it sure did.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got about 3 minutes left. You got a show coming up in about a half hour. So we got to get you
out of here.
So we got to get you out of here. So is it possible that you can do in 2 minutes, give us the last word and close us in prayer? Can you do that?
I can pray. Yeah, let's just pray. I don't even have any more words. I think I've used them all up. So let's just pray. And Father, I ask that you would just seal this time. And I ask that you would seal the work of your word within our lives, that the people that listen to this who are in the waiting, and I know we're not the only ones. I just know it. I ask that your Holy Spirit would go minister to them, wrap yourself around them like a comfort, like a warm blanket. And while they're in the waiting room, while they're in the waiting season, that they would sense and feel your presence, all of us, that we would all feel that we would get clarity of vision, even if it's only a tiny little pebble, to just go take this one step, you know, kind of like when we're climbing that mountain and the higher you get, the foggier it gets. And all you can do is see one step in front of you, 1 foot in front of you. So we do ask for that, God, because this is a tough season to be in. I ask that you would shine the light on the next step so that we do not get off course. because we will wait for you. We will not be like the Israelites and grumble and complain and move away. We will seek you first, because like you promised, if we seek your kingdom, you will add everything else to us. So we just bless your name. Thank you for being the God of the universe. Thank you for having the government on your shoulders. Thank you that you've got more abundantly than we could ever dream or think or imagine, and that you have promised you will never leave us or forsake us. And it's in your name, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that we commit this whole show to. Amen.
Amen. And so you got the QR codes there. You just go ahead and click on those things. Tanya, it's been an absolute joy. See what I did there?
I see.
You on the show. So thank you. And thank you for joining us for another edition of God's News in the News, Current Events, Biblical Perspective. We'll see you next time.
Hi, everybody. This is Tanya Joy from The Tanya Joy Show, also known as Beauty for Ashes. And I want to take a quick minute and talk to you about my new favorite sprays. This is by Verve Vitamins. Now, I want to show you this one in particular. I've got three here that I use on a very regular basis. One is Sunny, it's called. Let's see if we can see it. And I'm going to show you a quick commercial. This is vitamin D3, and it is amazing if you need to be in the sun and get those extra vitamins. This one is Energy. These are vitamin sprays. You do 7 sprays in your mouth, and it takes care of your vitamins. You can travel with them. I mean, these are small. They're the size of a pen. You can stick them in your purse, but this one right now is what you need to get. This is called Cold. It's vitamin C and zinc. I came down with a little bit of something right around the new year, and I started spraying this. I actually used it 3 times a day, and you guys, it's less than 5 days later, and it is gone. So you need to check out Verve Vitamins. Stick around, I'm gonna show you the video, and in that video, it's gonna show you the website to go to. You will get a discount with our code, Tanya Joy. So be sure you check this out. This is gonna change your life. I'm telling you, these are amazing. Hope you've enjoyed this episode of Beauty for Ashes with Tanya Joy. Please subscribe, hit the notification bell, and leave us a comment below. Lastly, if you've enjoyed today's podcast, share with those who came to mind. Be blessed, and remember, you were created for such a time as this.